drawing room over here.
You made it. Oh, come on through. Do you fancy drink? What's your tipple? Welcome to The Drawing Room, a space for intimate and surprising conversations. I'm Andy Park. Wagner's Lohengrin is a fantastical romance of epic proportions. It's a story of love, deception, and faith. Elsa is accused of a heinous crime, fratricide, the murder of her brother. She prays for a knight to save her, a prayer that's answered when Lohengrin appears, but his help is far from unconditional. Emily McGee is an internationally acclaimed soprano, and she makes her Australian debut in the role of Elsa in Olivier P's production of Lohengrin, which opens later this month at the Arts Centre in Melbourne. And Emily's my guest here in the drawing room. Welcome to you. Come on in, Emily. Take a seat.
Thank you so much.
I actually heard your voice for the first time listening to Puccini's La Fanciulla del West, one of my favourites. It's all like, almost like the first spaghetti western, if you ask me. That was your performance in 2018. But Wagner is a very, very different kettle of fish. Tell us about the role of Elsa.
Well, you know, now that you mention La Fanciulla del West and the character of Minnie, there are some similarities, and that's one reason why I like to play both ladies. They're both quite naive. I won't say innocent, but naive young women who are kind of surrounded by the world of men who make demands of them, and they have very little control over their existence. Minnie takes control in her own way, but Elsa is sort of left alone. You know, she's a political puppet. She's orphaned, apparently. You know, her brother has been killed, and she's being accused of everything so that other people can take power over the kingdom. We don't know a tremendous amount more about Elsa as a person, but what we are told is through the incredibly beautiful music of that Wagner wrote for her. I feel like she's sort of the embodiment of love, innocence to a certain extent. She's obviously a very young girl, and of faith. Faith that what is right and what she knows to be right will get her through, will win for her. And it doesn't really turn out that way for her, unfortunately. But Wagner wrote some of the most exquisitely pure harmonies and music for Elsa. And that's where I go from in trying to create the character from the music itself.
When you've played a character like Elsa time and time again, do you find something new each time, or is it you that's changed in between performances?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's both. I mean, I first did Elsa 20 years ago when I was really just beginning my career. I sort of jumped into the Wagner roles quite quickly. You know, it just turned out fate turned me that direction. And so I approached her from where I was at the time, which was kind of where she was. I was kind of thrown into the, you know, into the fire and had to prove myself and prayed that it would all just come out okay. And it did. But coming back to her, you know, this many years later, you, as an artist, me as a woman, as a singer, I'm trying to find that purity and that faith and that innocence again. You know, and I've done so many different productions of Elsa. I've done ones where she's, you know, it's a difficult opera to stage because the characters aren't super well defined except through the music. And I've done ones where Elsa is crazy. I've done ones where she's dreaming the whole thing. I've done ones where she's just standing around looking like an angel, you know. So I have different things to draw from. And then, you know, each production, you try to find the character through the production that you're given and through your colleagues, too. I mean, hopefully you can find it an interesting relationship with your other the other people who are performing with you. So It's always different. I mean, in fact, every night it's different, you know, hopefully, you know, you never want anything to be rote. You know, this is the way I do Elsa and I've done it this way for 20 years or blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's boring. So, you know, you try to always find something new.
It must be a bit like old friends. You know, you watch them go through seasons and changes in their lives, and the relationship you've had with Elsa over those years is no different. The original opera was set in a castle during medieval times, but in this production under Olivier Pie's direction, the action unfolds in a bombed-out Berlin following the Second World War. How does that change the way you've approached this performance?
I've really never done a production of Lohengrin that was really, really the fairy tale. I did one that was quite close, in, at least in terms of the costumes and things. But I find that the production informs everything I do with the character. I mean, I'm not one of those people who can bring my characterization of Elsa and do it in every production the same. I don't think that this production takes away anything, nor does it try to slap on a coat of paint that doesn't belong there. It just gives a setting where these characters can come forth. I mean, it takes a little bit away of the political element, but, you know, in any organization, there's politics. I mean, in any family, there's politics. So, I mean, you can, it's a power struggle for sure. And I think that the setting of it in this sort of destroyed building theater, but it could be anywhere. It was a destroyed city, fits very well with the, you know, the original plot of warring factions and, you know, trying to overcome this destruction and this horrible murder of her brother and the destruction of her family. And try to move forward. So I think it provides a real nice backdrop for developing the action rather than trying to paint a veneer of something else onto it, which many productions unfortunately do.
This is an epic production. I mean, it features the chorus of some 70 members. Tell me what that's like to be on stage. I mean, the only analogy I can imagine that would be like is being in the driver's seat of a Formula One car when all 12 cylinders are just powering away. I mean, tell me, what does that feel like?
It's tremendous. I mean, it's really a thrill. I mean, it's thrilling. And with this opera in particular, we sing a lot together with the chorus. I mean, very often the chorus will do their chorus numbers. You come out and you sing your aria and you know, there might be some things that are together. But in this one, you know, I basically, there's no aria per se, but, you know, my first entrance, my first aria is really a conversation with the chorus. You know, it's a proper scene with the chorus as a character. And the mass of people on stage and the mass of orchestra in the pit is just thrilling to be a part of. I trained, my early training was as a choral singer too. So of course, I always gravitate to the chorus and I feel a part of the chorus. I feel a part of the group, you know. So, and this particular chorus, I must say, sounds incredible. So it's really a pleasure. It's a thrill that most people don't get in their lives. Hopefully they will get the thrill from the public, from the audience. But we're really, really so fortunate to be able to be a part of that on stage.
There are so many aspects of Lohengrin that are epic, especially its length, running at approximately 4 hours and 20 minutes. This is a production, a performance with two intervals. How do you keep up your energy? I mean, that must take some serious stamina, both beforehand in preparation, but also during the performance. What goes through your mind? What are your preparations?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I have done, because I do a fair amount of Wagner, I've done longer evenings even than Lohengrin, but the character of Elsa, the role of Elsa is very long indeed. She's in most every scene. And the one thing that helps is that her character, for the most part, is rather still and reactionary and thoughtful and mystic even maybe. So that helps to save energy, depending on the production. In this one, I'm not running around the stage like a, you know, a crazy person. So that's helpful, but it is long, and you have to develop that stamina. You know, it's something that comes with time and with getting used to singing these Wagnerian roles. I mean, it helps, as they always say, to have a comfortable pair of shoes, you know, a comfortable costume, and you must be well rested and well fed and well hydrated and pace yourself. And that's with any role, you must learn how to pace the role for yourself. And having sung it so many times, I at least feel like I have learned over the years how to pace the role so that I can sing each act the way I would like to.
On ABCRN, I'm Andy Park. Emily McGee is my guest in the drawing room tonight. We're talking about her role as Elsa in Lohengrin. And Jonas Kaufmann plays the noble of Lohengrin. This isn't the first time you two have worked together, is it? What's it like being working with Jonas?
Well, yeah, we have done, I think, three productions together. Might even be more, and I've forgotten. I don't know, but I've known Jonas for quite a while. We both were in at the Zurich Opera House around the same time, and I believe that was our first time working together. That was there as Tosca and Cavaradossi, and he's a brilliant colleague. I mean, his star has, you know, is the brightest in the skies at the moment, but. You know, I still feel like he's the same lovely person and the same really good, respectful, and helpful colleague. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again. We have done Lohengrin once together before, but as I recall, we didn't really have much rehearsal for it. It was a production that was already sort of going in Munich, but we did one run of those together. And it was beautiful. He's an incredible. I mean, the Melbourne audiences are so lucky to have him here and to be able to hear his Lohengrin. It's just stunning.
You were born in New York City. At what age did you first know you wanted to be an opera singer? Where did that inspiration come from?
Well, I actually started by playing the piano, but I always sang. I sang in choir, in church choir, and in school choirs, and everything. And I always loved singing and I loved opera. And when I was very young, I thought, okay, you just decide you want to be an opera singer and you're an opera singer, you know, but of course you, at that age, you don't have any idea of the training it takes to do that. So by the time I went to college, to university to study music, I studied education because in those days, my parents said, well, that's the, what do you, I know you love to sing, but what are you going to do for a job? So I studied music education and I got very involved in the choirs and still didn't think I would be a soloist, but I more or less got intrigued by the technique of singing, the art of singing itself. And so I studied with a very well-known teacher for my continuing education. And I got cast, and I went to Indiana University, which is a very big music school for opera.
The Jacobs School of Music, yeah.
Yeah, and it has an incredible opera program. I mean, they have basically a full season and quite a large house. And I got cast right away, not thinking I would, as Desdemona in Otello. And I think, in all honesty, I think that opera is what made me fall in love with doing it myself. I mean, I didn't know anything about being on stage. I was as green as, you know, as they come, but it was just so beautiful. And it was like a religious awakening somehow. I just thought, wow, this is it, you know, for expression, for passion, for acting, for everything. And somehow the world of opera just kept falling into my lap. I know that sounds maybe stupid. I mean, I worked really hard at it, but I thought at every turn that it was, well, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to go back to teaching, blah, blah, blah. But it just kept coming at me and in challenging ways. Like my first Lohengrin, for example, I had done an audition in Chicago, sort of a general audition for Daniel Barenboim. And he was casting Lohengrin over in Berlin, Germany. And he said, I want somebody new for this. What about that girl that sang for me in Chicago? So he said, learn these bits, fly over and sing them for me. And so I did. You know, I didn't know any German. I didn't know German repertoire, but I did it. And he accepted me. So things like that kept happening for me. And it's been a roller coaster for decades now. It's just, I still can't believe that I get to do this, you know, that I get to express myself and the world in this way. You know, it's been an incredible blessing, incredible blessing.
And to express yourself on some of the world's most famous opera stages, including La Scala and the Royal Opera House, mm-hmm. when you walk into one of these world-famous venues for the first time, what is it that you notice? Do you look at what the audience will see, what their vista is, or do you do what some musicians and singers and sound recordists I've known do, which is click their fingers to ascertain the resonance of the building? What's the first thing that you notice?
I'd have to say the first thing I notice in a new venue and a new house is the personnel. I'd have to say overall, sometimes you can let the history of the house just scare you to death. You know, the first time you sing at La Scala, you just think, I can't believe that I'm here. And you look out in the audience and you see Renata Tebaldi sitting there. You know, that was my first experience at La Scala.
Oh, wow.
About wet myself. But I find that the atmosphere of the house, which is mostly the personnel, is somehow the most important thing for me. I think of, yes, you always check the acoustic. You know, we're seeing the state. I'm on stage today in Melbourne for the first time. So of course I'll try out a few notes, see what it feels like. But I feel like if you have a camaraderie of people behind you, the staff of the house, you know, the conductor, the director, the management of the opera house, if you are made to feel at home and supported, you can really do almost anything, even if it's a challenge, you know, even if it's something that might not be going so well, but you know that the people there are there to support you and to help you through. And it's like a family. And that sort of atmosphere is very important for me personally.
Well, speaking of family and being supported, you've performed many times at the Bayreuth Festival, Germany's premier opera festival, including under the direction of the late Wolfgang Wagner, grandson of Richard Wagner. What was that experience like?
It was incredible. I mean, again, when I first started there, I was so green. And there I was doing interviews with newspapers, you know, sort of trying to understand German. I mean, I was so, so young and so green. And the atmosphere there at the time was so collegial and so kind of, we used to call it was sort of like being at camp because the people were so dear and so supportive. And Wolfgang Wagner himself directed my first production there. And he could not have been any more supportive, funny. I didn't understand half of what he said sometimes, but
but with German, I mean, it's fairly expressive. Yes. You get the drift pretty quickly.
Yeah, I learned to not ask any questions because if I asked a question, I probably wouldn't understand the answer. So I just said, yes, 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 I'll do that. Yes, that's fine. You know, but I mean, just as a family, Wolfgang and his wife, Gudrun, were incredibly supportive, and it made for, of course, it's a very high stress thing, but they made it feel like it was family, and it was, you know, the loveliest times of my life. I was there for, I guess, 6 years in the same production. I met my husband there. I feel like it's my family.
Emily, you still call Boulder, Colorado your home. You've obviously performed on stages across Europe and North America, but this is your first time in Australia, I'm led to believe. What are your first impressions, particularly of our artistic scene?
I've been working most of the time, so I haven't seen as much of Australia as I'd love to, but I was thrilled to come here for the first time. But I will say that the thing that strikes me the most about the process so far are the incredible voices that you have here in Australia. I've worked with many Australian singers over the years and in Europe mostly. I mean, obviously not in Australia, but so I knew that the level of singing here was incredible. But, you know, my feeling has not changed at all. It's wonderful that, you know, the chorus sounds amazing. So, I mean, I consider it really, you know, kind of, you know, a real honor to be able to come and sing with these wonderful Australian singers, you know. And I think that the management has done a wonderful job of keeping Australian singers and adding some international singers into the mix. And it's a lovely combination. It's exhilarating.
Well, Emily, it's been an absolute delight to chat with you tonight. Thank you so much for being my guest here in the Drawing Room.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Emily McGee has been my guest in the Drawing Room, and Lohengrin is on at the Arts Centre Melbourne from the 14th of May.
You've been listening to a podcast of The Drawing Room with me, Andy Park. For more great conversations, search for The Drawing Room on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.